I want you to turn to the 33rd, and there's only one next week. We'll do 34, and then we're done with Deuteronomy. If I had a title today, we don't need one, but if they had one, it'd be something like this: Come, Sweet Death. Now, I want you to say that. Come, Sweet Death. And this is good news. This is good news. And you probably don't understand where I'm going, but it's always good news. Everything in the Bible is good news. But your death is essential. It's essential. Unless you die, you won't be resurrected. You're always resurrected from out of the realm of death. Out of the realm of death. And so you cannot be resurrected unless you're dead. So that's why come sweet death. If death is wonderful, glorious, then not only will Israel be spared, but also the church of the Gentiles will be spared. Whatever happens to Israel will always happen in the church. So if Israel went astray, you went astray too. But the beauty of that is that unless you go astray, unless you turn on God, unless you crucify Christ, you'll never be a Christian. You'll never grow. So sweet death is that this is a precious gift of God that you die so that you're no longer in charge of yourself. So you're dying to yourself. This is self-death, but if you don't agree with it, you won't. You can disagree. Oh, I've suffered enough. I don't want to suffer anymore. But unless you suffer, you won't be glorified. It's in the Bible. And so that's the precondition, is you're born to die to resurrect. You're born to die to resurrect. Now, if you skip chair 5 up there, which is your death to yourself, it's self-death. In other words, I'm not going to do the self-death. I'm just going to let Jesus do that for me. And then I'll realize, wow, now that I don't love myself, because God's love is sufficient for me, now I can love my neighbor. And Jesus will not come back for a church that doesn't both sides worship God with all your heart and soul and strength and love your neighbor as yourself. This one is up to God. This one is to my neighbor. God does not want your love. I'd say that. I'd have to explain that. He wants your love. Love God with all your heart. But actually, Jesus did it for you. He loved God with all his heart and soul and strength, but he did it for you. He did that on your behalf. He did that in your stead. He did that because you couldn't do it because he's perfect. And so he made the perfect sacrifice for everybody in the world. Not just Jews, not just Christians, not some denomination or something. No, it's for everybody in the world. He actually wanted to die for everybody without any conditions. No conditions. That is the kind of God we have. He's a loving Father. He's never been any angry judge hoping you'd sin so he could send you to hell. He's never been like that. It's impossible. Because God is good and his mercy endureth forever. Now, because I said something weird in the beginning, you have to realize that God always operates under the opposite. Your death is actually your life. Your life is actually your death. Now, I know you don't like that because it sounds like a conundrum or some kind of a problem, but actually it's normal. And if unless you sin, he didn't come. He said these words, I didn't come for righteous people. Why? Because there aren't any. Remember Adam and Eve? They did the first sin. But that doesn't mean they don't go to heaven. You have to understand this, that God writes in such a way, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And if he wants, he can do anything he wants. He's almighty. and he's good, and he's gracious, and he's merciful. And everything you have is a gift of God. Everything you have. And thank God here, this is the first nation that was ever built on that foundation. The Jews had it, but they lost it because they didn't want to be like God. They wanted to be God. Everybody likes that. And you can't find a person in the world that doesn't want to be God. There is no such person. But they need the truth that will set them free. I think Daddy mentioned that in his prayer today. You'll be my disciples. That would be chair 5. When a disciple is fully taught, it'll be like the master. Spirit, soul, body. Spirit, soul, body. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You can see, and I can do 10 of them, 12 of them, 15 of them. Because the whole scripture is built on that threefold atonement. Threefold. I forgave your sins, but I left them on you. Then I'll remove all the sins, because that's why I came. And then I will perfect you in love. So those three things are part of the atonement, at one meant. So God initiated this whole process, not you. You were not searching for God. I tell you, most people do not wake up thinking, I want to see God today. They're not doing that. They're just thinking, what's for breakfast? Or, you know, go and brush your teeth or whatever. Whatever you're doing. Is it just pancakes? You know, whatever. They don't think about God. So God has to instruct you. He has to teach you how to know the truth. And that's a good parent. A good parent doesn't say, do whatever you want and I'll love you. He doesn't say that. A good parent says, you know, even though you can break all the windows in the house and so on and so forth, don't. Don't do that. Why? That instruction is not to say, it has nothing to do with love. A loving father will chasten you. And if you don't chasten your children, if you don't show them right from wrong, they won't learn. They'll be anarchists or tyrants or despots or whatever. And that's what's happening in America today. You know what? I don't see that as God punishing the bad people. I don't see it that way because the Bible doesn't see it that way. I see it as God cleansing Israel. So Israel's Jacob's trouble. You know that during the trouble, Israel will be slaughtered. It's not important, you know, where he comes from and so on and so forth. Everyone wants to know, and who's the Antichrist and so on. You really don't know that or care about it. Because God will chasten Israel not to punish them for their sins. Not to punish them for their sins. He is only saying, I want you to go by faith. I want you to believe in Jesus. Don't believe in yourself. What is the world teaching today? Be yourself. Realize yourself. Find your niche in life and, you know, go do it. And everybody's interested in that. They're not interested in God. They have no interest in God at all. And they expect to be crucified. He expects to be hated. Now, if you kill his son, you've killed God. So you can't. He's under a protection. And he says to us, Abraham, I am your shield. I will shield you from any darts, anything from the enemy, and your exceeding great reward. So everyone's following me so far because I'm quoting scripture so I can back up and prove, give evidence for, that God has never let anybody down, even wicked people. He does not delight in being an angry judge on wicked people. Oh, I knew they did. Did you see that, angels? Yeah, I did too. And so he's not doing that. He wants everyone to go to heaven. He wants that. He wishes that. But since he doesn't use power, it's not by might nor by power, saith the Lord. It's by my spirit. That's in the Bible. So what God wants is for you to be like he is. He forgave us while we were yet sinners. And then we forgive others while they're yet sinners. If you're married, the other person's going to sin. Not you. Because you have a story that you could tell. The reason I did that was because of this reason. And so you can justify yourself. That is the biggest sin you can ever do, is justify yourself. Isn't that awful? Because it doesn't make sense. If they said behave yourself, you say, yeah, yeah, that, God wants behavior, but you won't do it. Even though you say you do it, your standard is not his standard. His ways are not your ways. And so he's trying to train you that anything apart from faith is sin. Anything, if it's not done by faith, in other words, if you thought you did it, that's a sin. If you thought you did that, and you're proud of yourself, and you expect a reward. But that's not the case. And so the Roman Catholic people are loved by God. The Jewish people are loved by God. And there'll be many Roman Catholics in heaven, or any other religion. But God just wants you to die out of being under your own government, being, you know, America was founded on self-government, but it means self-government under God. And that's what we say in the pledge, one nation under God. We say in Texas, one state under God. The reason we do is because we're under higher law, not yours, higher law jurisprudence. In other words, all human law will never get you to heaven. Never. Your emotions will not get you to heaven. Your will not get you to heaven. So anything human now will perish. Everything human now will perish. However, you're the hot church. You're the church that's passionate about God, and you can forgive your neighbor. You can love your neighbor. You can bless your neighbor. You can do good to the neighbor and never curse them. New Testament. Old Testament, you know, if you were in adultery, you were stoned and so on. But they seldom did that, by the way. They seldom did that. So Israel has a bright, 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 bright future. Not because they're Abraham or Isaac or anything. You can sin against God. You can break all his commandments. He still loves you. He has not said, I don't love that person. Because of what you just did the last 2 days or whatever. He's not like that. He's a loving father. God is good. And he's gracious. That means he favors you. And once he does, he can't change. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He can't change his nature, his character, his purpose in life. You cannot change it. It's immutable. If you cannot change that, then you have no power to ever hurt God. He's like a dad, and if you're trying to wrestle with your dad because you're 2 years old or three or something like that, you know, the dad is not really worried about it. You know, don't do that. And all parents do that because, especially if they're boys, they want to fight with you. And they want to duke it out and so on and so forth. It's not unusual. And so you can get behavioral modification any day in the week. And that's what education is all emotional today. 100% emotional. The affective side of you is the emotional side. Then you yell and scream like the anarchists are doing today. Burn down buildings, you know, pull down your history and all that kind of stuff. And tyrants and so on. People are corrupt. So all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Since all have sinned, you're included in the all. Whatever that word all means, it includes everybody. Everybody, everyone that's born into this world or that was conceived into this world, you're all sinners. Why? Because as soon as you learn to, you know, talk and say something, you're going to sin. And you're going to go your own way. That's good. Come sweet death. That's good. Because then, quickly, I want to be killed because I need to be under new management because I'm not good at managing our anything. You're not a good manager. God is always God. He's always superior. He's always supreme. So if you look to anything that man has done, it'll perish. Anything that man has done, of course, we've done everything in the world, and Satan is the god of this world. But you're not part of the world. You're believers. So your faith is not in yourself. Your faith is in God, the Almighty. And because of that, whatever he does is what you do. And you'll be judged by what he did, not what you did. I'm going to say that again. If you then say, wow, I've done so many bad things, that is not interesting to God. Because all have sinned and fallen short. So he did not come for the righteous. He came for people that sinned because of Adam and Eve. That's the original sin. And ever since then, everybody's been a sinner. Not one person has ever come out of the womb and said, hey, Mom, how can I help? I'm here to help you. I mean, they don't come out that way. They come out like this. You know, because they were so nice and warm and so on in that womb. And, you know, everything came to me and they didn't do a thing. Unless you become like a little child, you will never enter into the kingdom of God. So, have I lost you? Because I can say it a billion zillion times, because it's Danny's life we're talking about. So, since all of us are the same, male, female, young, old, doesn't matter. So, all those categories that we make up are silly categories, because they make for war. They make for disruption. They ruin families. They ruin communities. They ruin countries and so on and so forth. But don't worry about it. God has a plan. He cannot fail in his plan. It's fail safe, because God already knows before the foundation world, before there even was a world, there was not even a heaven and an earth. Before that, he already was slain. He already was waiting for the chance he had to come to earth. And he waited 4,000 years. So the world is only 7,000 years old. We're in the 7,000th now. And how you number that, because the Bible does, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 7 days in a week, that means 7,000 years. A day with the Lord, one day is 1,000. So now you have 7,000 years, then it's up. And it's just up. I mean, that's set. And every founding father in the early church, and I've read these documents, every founding father believed the world was only 7,000 years old. Now, today we're so much smarter that we've come up with evolution and all kinds of things, and the world is a billion or, you know, 100 billion or 10 billion. It doesn't make any difference. When I was young, they used to say 15 billion. But they just made it up. Obviously, they just made it up. And so evolution doesn't exist. There's no new species being created. Anyway, I'm not going to explain all that. It's just nonsense. But that's monkey business. I mean, I don't believe in that. And so you're not an orangutan. And John Dewey, in the 19th century, he invented that man is an animal. And so you were taught when you went to school, they brainwashed you, to taught that man is an animal, not vegetable, you know, not mineral. You're an animal. You're not an animal. Mankind is totally different. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. In other words, he'll have the capacity, the power to do something. But what you do is have faith in God. What must we do to be doing the works of God? Nothing. You can't do anything. And God is the only actor. I know I've said that. It offends people. But, yeah. No, it's truth. Whatever it is that you can do, you can't. If you do it in the flesh, it's sin. Apart from faith. But if you do it by faith, you have faith in Jesus. He's the object of your faith, not you. You are not the object of your faith. I can do it. I'm the little engine that could. And we teach that to kids as though, you know, I'll try. I think I can do it. My mom says I can do it. My dad thinks I can do it. I'll do it. You have to go to school right now. You know, and so everything in life is going to resist that. Everything in life resists any word of God. Any word of God is hated by mankind. because you were not created perfectly. Okay, I'll say it differently. You were created perfectly, but Adam and Eve goofed it up, and ever since then, everyone has been a sinner. Now, maybe you'd be mad at Adam and Eve. I think they'll be in heaven. I think even Cain will be in heaven. And the reason I do is because there are scriptures that indicate that even though you sin, that's not of interest to God. He knew that before the world began. He knew, I'm going to have people that will resist, and I'm going to give a law that makes them have to fight me until I win. Until I win. And God will. So since God loves everybody, He's eager for your death so that you can be resurrected. But most people resist that. And they say they believe in God's word, but they're not really looking at it. Be holy as I'm holy. He's the standard. I think, except for pastors, I don't think anybody can reach that. I think Danny could, but be hard. Be hard for that. Be righteous as I'm righteous. Standard again. He's the standard again. And so whatever God says, it's something you cannot do. You just cannot do it. And He did that to frustrate you. And so all religion tries to do what God wants. And they end up chopping your head off. So that's not unusual. They just, you know, they just believe that. And they have mothers and fathers wanting them to be good Muslims so they can chop your head off. And it's a virtue for them. And because you won't believe in their thing, and this is still their goal. If you won't believe in their doctrine, their understanding, then chopping your head off is a good thing for them to do. Because you weren't going to make it anyway. Because they think it's your will to do that. No. It's not your will. They sin, you sin, we all sin for sin. Sin. Missing the mark. What is the mark? If you miss the mark, sin is missing the mark. Sin is missing the mark. What is the mark? Guess. Say it. Guess what is the mark? I can't hear it. Because I'm almost 80. What is it? No, there is. No, he even said to the killer, the first killer, Cain, he even said to him, this idea that you've done wrong, if you would just bow down and say, forgive me, I would. But I'm going to postpone. I'm going to suspend your judgment until the end of time. And hopefully then, being in the lake, not of the lake of the fire, but you just, if you're in the torture, if you're in torment. So when you go to Hades, everyone goes to Hades, even Christians. You all go to Hades. Sorry. It just means under the ground. That's all. In your grave. That's all. But some are in the place of torment. You remember that story about the guy that was tormented, the rich man and the poor man, and so on. That story is kind of like a clue to you of how it works. But this guy that's righteous, the poor man, looked to God because he had no one to help him. He looked to God, and the rich man, there's nothing he could do. He said, hey, I'm thirsty right now. Could you get me some water and just dip? My tongue is so... Could you just put some water on me? I'm in great pain. So he was in the pace of torment. That means he could turn to God at that point. So could Cain. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you're now worried about the fact, and he was. He said, okay, you can't do that because there's a chasm between us. So you can't come to me. You're up here in the place of comfort. I'm in the place of torment. But I'm lower than you. Couldn't you just get some way of getting me some water? He said, I'll ask God. He didn't say it. I'm making that part up. But he asked God or asked somebody. And he said, nope, there's a chasm, so you can't get across the chasm. It's the Grand Canyon or something you can't get across. Okay, well then I have, I think he said, four brothers upstairs, and they're worse than I am. Bad, bad people. But they're my brothers. So you see, if, you know, you could tell them, don't come here. You don't want to end up here. So you need to change a little bit, you know, clean up your act. But it didn't happen. And he came back and said, no, even if someone should rise from the dead, and they came up, because they're not actors either. So they can't change their act. They can't change their life. They can't do anything, because man cannot do good. You cannot save yourself. You cannot save yourself. You cannot save yourself. That's the one thing you cannot do. Save yourself. With all the works you do, you have to realize it's what Paul called rubbish, or what Paul called, you know, it's something man can't do. And even though he was impeccable in his life, and he was going to be the high muckety-muck in the Jewish tradition, he could have been the head of the Sanhedrin. He was trained, he was groomed to be that person. But remember, he was on his high horse, and all of a sudden the horse knocked him off, and then all of a sudden he became a blind man because he was thrown down in the dirt. And that's what happens to you. This is exciting. Isn't that exciting? That's an exciting verse. Because when you're on your high horse and you're proud of yourself and you have a lot of confidence that you can kill off all the Christians, it won't work. This new religion. As far as the Jews were concerned, we're the Johnny-come-latelys on the deal. And we believe it's by faith alone. And then Paul didn't believe in that. He believed it's by works alone. So if you're just, you do good works for God, and then he'll reward you, give you a wage, give you a payment, give you some kind of thing. But he has to learn, and he had to go to, after he got his sight back. Remember, Peter was told, there's a guy coming, go to this house, and so on and so forth. And then he came there, and Cornelius' house, and then he found this guy, and all of a sudden he went to Saudi Arabia, where the law was given, because it wasn't given in the traditional place. It wasn't in Sinai and so on and so forth. This law was given. Sinai, by the way, is it's over on the Moab side of the Jordan River. And that's where Moses died. And he was then put in that land. So since he was put in that land, nobody knows where that grave is today. You can't find it. And because it's a hidden place, because if God wants to hide something, he can hide something. And he's hidden a lot of things from y'all. Hidden a lot of things. Because you have questions like, well, God, how does this work? I thought being married would be fun. I thought being married, my husband, was going to be, you know, wonderful. And a lot of wives are disillusioned after they get married. I can at least see two people. So you're disillusioned that person, which was a wonderful person because they were on good behavior, and then you married them because you bought their line. And so it's better to be married to Jesus first and then get married. So you don't need to marry an unbeliever and think my love will do it. Love does nothing. Love is what everybody wants. And that's what the anarchists think today. We're gonna make a better America than you all guys. You can't make a better America, even a greater America. You can only be good, and only God can give you that as a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's just what God is. That's his nature. He's a gift-giving God. Everything you have is a gift of God. So your faith is a gift of God. Your repentance is a gift of God. Everything is a gift of God. He's the only giver in the whole universe. There is no other giver. And everything that you thought you gave, you had a string attached to it. And that you find that out later. It's like the mafia. Hey, look, I've been to a lot of countries, and the mafia, and because I have a mafia background, the mafia will make a promise to you. You want to bring in goods for free? I have ways I could help you. And that I can say all... All I have memories of all of that. And I have Moldova and all these places. And I was in a Jewish cemetery, and somehow this guy came up and he knew I didn't look Jewish. You know, but he knew, what are you doing here? First of all, I love Israel. I didn't know who he was. And then second of all, I like to look at these old graves because I believe that the Jewish people made Moldova. There were five brothers, and they created this place. Wow, he was very interested. So then he was part of the mafia there. And he handed me some matzah and so on and so forth and said, you know, I'm going to go to a meeting tonight, and someone from Israel is going to be here. And on it goes. But he said, I can help you out because the mayor is Jewish, then the governor is Jewish, and everything. They had it all sewed up. So I realized if you want something done, just be part of the mafia. All kingdoms have that. You can go anywhere in the world. If you want a loan for a dollar, you're not going to get it. But if you need $50 billion or whatever, they can help you. It's all in their hands. So they can be Masons. They can be Jews. It doesn't matter. Everybody has their own deal. You do something good, then they'll call you later and say, I need a favor. And I wasn't expecting that. I thought it was free. He said, no strings attached, but there is a string attached. And you'll find out that people are liars. Let God be true and every man a liar. I mean, every man sounds like not just male. Every man is female or male. Expect things. They get married thinking that, you know, my wife did. She thought I was a lousy person, but I could even be lousier. And she found out I was lousy, a worthless person. But she fell for my line. Because the minute I saw her, I said, I'm going to marry that woman. And I didn't have a chance because she had all kinds of people that wanted to date with her and be with her and so on. So I had to run them all off. So I finally tricked her into it. And then it's too late. Yeah, once you're married, that's it. You're stuck. And she's always trying to perfect me in some way. I could name this morning. She tried to perfect me. I love it. Y'all don't seem to have a sense of humor like I do. But I'm just irredeemable. The only one that loves me is God. And he has no choice because that's his nature. So, poor God. And so, and I knew that when I became born again, I knew that I'd betray God. I knew that I'd be a hypocrite like everybody else that I judged. I knew that right away, just like that. And because of that, I know I hate hypocrites, but I'll be one. I knew that right away. It's like, I'll be a hypocrite. Because I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in myself. And now Jesus is talking to me. And he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And I walked to the other side of the room, and I realized, wow, I'm going to be a hypocrite. The very thing I hate, I'm going to be that. Because how can you be other than what you are? A hypocrite is just someone that's not what they are. So that's all a hypocrite was. It's a mask that they wear, smiling, but inside venom. And so they are what they're not. So they can, in a play, you could be yourself, but in the play they put a smile on your face, or you could turn it around and have a frown on your face. And that's how the Greek, that's how they celebrated and, you know, gave truths out and so on and so forth because they were smart. So a hypocrite is just being not yourself. But as a little kid, I didn't believe in that. I believed I had this sign on Aunt May's house, and it said, be yourself. And I laughed. I mean, nobody was in the room. I just laughed and said, how can you not be yourself? You're going to always be yourself because you're yourself. I mean, it just didn't make any sense. So I didn't ask anybody. I just walked around. I don't know what that means. That's like a stupid statement. How can you be other than what you are? And so being what you are is not a good thing. That's what I found out. And I didn't know I was unhappy till I met Jesus. When I met Jesus, that is, he initiated and met me. Changed my life forever and ever. I could never go back. Not that I couldn't, I'm not going to. Because I've now said, this is the best life ever. And I never knew what happiness was until that moment. And it changed my life with Peggy. It changed my life with parents. It changed my life with everybody in my family. And from then on, I was different. I was under new management. And I realized, wow, this is the only thing. I'll die for this. I will not live for this. I'll die for this. I'm going to go all the way with Jesus from now on. So I want to read now this 33rd chapter, and you'll be surprised that the opposite is what it's going to say. Because a command, mitzvah, dabar, Torah, they're all Jewish words. They're actually hiding the gospel underneath them in the Old Testament law. So I can read the law, says, I command you to keep my Ten Commandments, for example. Okay, I command you, could be, because tzavah, it has like, it could be an ordinance, it could be a decree, it can be all kinds of things. But one thing it could be is it could be a command, literally, the letter of the law, killeth. But the spirit of the law gives life. It could be a promise. So those are opposites. So if it could be a, and I have a choice as an exegete, someone that reads the Bible and reads it exactly what it says, but if I read it by the law, it's going to kill somebody. Me. It's going to kill me because I can't keep the law. I mean, I just was addicted to law breaking. I just was addicted to it, and I loved it, and I enjoyed it. How many know you're not supposed to enjoy people that do bad? And, you know, my wife could not lie. I mean, if I said, you know, just, Jim is right here standing. No, don't say that. Just say, I'll have him call you or something like that. I mean, make up something. But I could lie easily, but she could not. And still to this day, she can't lie. So I've trained her and I've trained her, and she just doesn't, she can't do it. She's just going to say the truth. That's not the truth. I'm going to say the truth. Molly, that's going to be a bad marriage. Because you're rowing the boat this way, I'm trying to row this way. And so we're just throwing circles. So you probably don't have a sense of humor, but that's funny. But anyway, so now I just say whatever she says. I just say the same thing. I'm teaching her, just use scripture. Just whatever you say, use the scripture. Don't make up your own thoughts and emotions. And so just say scripture. So now if I say, Peg, you're the best, she'll say, and you are too. That's impossible. But she says it. Why? Because she realizes I'm a man of God. Wow, what did I do? I didn't do anything. How many know you can do nothing and you do everything? Because he says, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Nothing. Just believe in Jesus. If you believe he's good and you're evil, that totally satisfies God. Because now he has the goods on you because you're evil, and he gets to kill all evil people. How many know God? That's reading the law as law. I command you. If you disobey the command, you have to be punished. You have to be judged. You have to then suffer the consequences. And it's death. But how many know that God wants you to die so that he can resurrect you? So when Jesus died, 3 days later, he's up. Because he has life in himself. You don't have life in yourself. The only life you have, the eternal life that you have, is a pure gift of God. And it's derivative. It derives from the fact that he did the work and you didn't. So anytime someone says, thank you, Pastor, or, you know, what you said helped me or something like that, I didn't do anything. Jesus did. If you say that, they say, no, you did that. You said those words and it blessed me. I didn't do that. I know. I promise you, I did not do that. That was just a mistake on my part. It was just something. I don't know how God does that. It's like weird. How many know you have to have this upside down idea that I used to be lying on the ground worshiping idols, and now I'm standing upright, and I don't know who stood me up. It was Jesus. He just said, this thing can live. These dry bones can live. Now I'm resurrected. I love it. Because I don't worry about anything. I don't fret about anything. I'm not anxious about anything. I'm peaceful in everything I do. But that shouldn't be. I should have gone to hell and be in jail or be dead or something. And I'm not. I'm just always amazed. And the shower, which now is broken down. But the shower, because I have an old one, a house born in the 60s, and that's when they built the neighborhood. And we're in the builder's house. And you can't find the knobs on that unless you change it all out. And so you go in and say, here's my old one. Could you find anything? And so you find the thing that looks closest to it. And you go home and it doesn't work because this one is, it doesn't have the right wrench on it and so on. So you go out and buy the wrenches and now I have the right wrench and so on and so forth. But there's just the stem. It's just there. But you can't find anything that will fit that. So I'm going to have David to find that somewhere. You must be a way that you could fix this thing without tearing the whole wall out. And so since I'm not cool on that, I'm going to have to ask David. He's smart. He knows everything. So he'll just look it up. Where is it? The 60s, you know, and so on and so forth. Figure it out. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, I'm happy all the time. How do you get happy? Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Happy is the bride that's invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, happy, happy, happy. Everything I read in the Bible is happy. So I like it. Amen? I don't deserve it, but he only loves people that don't deserve it. And nobody deserves it. So, that's exciting. All right. Here's 33rd chapter. Okay. And this is the blessing. I like that way that starts out. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, and he was faithful, by the way, if you read that in another place, he's faithful. So he wasn't a lawman. He was actually a faith man. You can see that in the book of Hebrews. It says Moses is included in that. He's the faith man. So he gave the law, but he couldn't follow the law. In fact, at Meribah, he hit the rock twice, and God said, just speak to it. But he hit the rock twice because he was a little bit angry because he hit the rock and it didn't work, so he hit it again. But God didn't say that. He just said, speak to it. So he can't go to heaven. No, he did go to heaven. How did he do it? He said these words after he gave the Ten Commandments. Then he said these words right afterward. By the way, I know you Jews, you're stubborn and you're stiff-necked. And you're going to get all the curses in the law. Blessing and curses. You'll get the curses. This is their leader who just gave them the law. And then right afterward, he said this. There's another prophet at the end of the age. Listen to him. He's talking about Jesus. So this other prophet will be the true prophet, even though he was a true prophet and faithful in everything he did. But he knew that, and so God said to him, you're not going to cross over the Jordan. You're not going to go into the promised land. I led him here. This is what we're going to do. Yeah, you're not going. What? And so he had to die. You see what that means? Can you understand what that means? He led them all the way, 40 years, murmuring, griping, and complaining people. And then he said to them, you're going to get all the curses. And then he wouldn't even lead them in the land. He said, I'll ask Yeshua, Joshua, same thing as Yeshua, Jesus. I'll ask him to lead you in, and if he leads you in, you'll win all your victories. And God will go before him and put fear on the Girgashites, the Amalekites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and so on and so forth. He'll do it. All those seven nations which are stronger than you, smarter than you, more powerful than you, you'll overthrow them just like that. Piece of cake. How many know we're facing that now with coronavirus? We're facing that now when our buildings are destroyed. We're facing it now with everything that's going on because you're in the age of Laodicea. But I'm not from Laodicea. I got saved before all of this. And when I got saved 38 years ago, when I got saved, from then I'm a Christian. So I have no fears, no worries, no doubts, not anything. I'm just going to be without apology. And did you know some Christians still sin? Unless you're a pastor. Because you're going to sin. Danny, I think you might have sinned this morning. Might have. How many know that Christians still sin? And so you won't get that taken care of until Jesus comes back a second time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when he does, he has vengeance for all the wicked and then deliverance for all the righteous. And I'll be part of the righteous group. I will. That's an amazing guy. I can't believe it. I'll be part of that group. And I'll try to not be proud of that. But I know I'll sin. I know. It just comes to me. Thank God I'm on the right side now. Thank you, Jesus. How many know that you might, it might slip in. It just, it's like a habit. It just kind of slips in there. And I know what it says in the Bible. When someone suffers, you're not supposed to rejoice. You're supposed to say, well, I'll pray for you and bless you. And I know what to do, but I might in the moment, inside of me, think, thank God I'm not like you. Just that guy in the temple. It's, thank God I'm not a woman. Thank God I'm not a Gentile like this jerk. And so on. That just might come into me because I have a sense of humor, right? And just like a little child, I'll be walking down the hall because go brush your teeth and get back to the table. And I'll see a toy on the road and I'll just, oh, hey, this is interesting. Jim, where are you? Forgot. I'm just playing with this toy, but I don't say that. I say, I'm coming. But I'm like a little kid. I know I'll do that. I'll just see a gum wrapper. God doesn't even have a sweeper thing on there. He needs to pick this up. He's made the promise. I didn't make the promise. It's got dirt right there. And I know I'll just do it because it's my habit. Do you know God loves you just as you are? No matter what you have done or thought you have done or whatever, he's merciful. And he's kind and he can't change. He just can't change. He'll always be in love with you. So, wow, that kind of promise makes me feel like, wow, even if I do wrong, he'll forgive it. And not only that, he's now changing me, and I didn't change me, but he's changing me from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. And I believe that. I totally believe that God is doing it, but it's a miracle. And I think most pastors aren't as honest as I am. I learned that from Peggy. Be honest. Have integrity. But I learned it from God is he loves you no matter what. That I can't believe that. That is good news. Because I'm the kind of person that could slip into an old habit. And I do every once in a while, like every nanosecond, like that. But I believe God can't lie. I believe every man can be a liar, but not God. So this blessing, and you can only get blessing from heaven, wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Come, sweet death. This is not a negative verse. This is a positive verse. He's going to bless. When he blesses you, he doesn't change his mind on that. Once he said favors you, he can't say, what you did yesterday, I'm not going to favor you anymore. No, he cannot change his mind because he's the same yesterday and the same today and the same forever. Wow. So once he blesses you, he can't say, I don't want you anymore. You were good and then you got witchcrafted. I don't like you anymore. He can't because he's the same. He's immutable. You cannot change him. Mutable means you can change it. But immutable, you cannot change it. Once God says a word, he can't say, ooh, I didn't mean that. Ooh, I made a mistake on your part. He knows everything, beginning, ending, Alpha, Omega. He knows everything. He's the way, the truth, the life. He's the good shepherd. He's everything that I need. I don't need anything more. And it says, if you believe in Jesus, he freely gives you everything. Wow. Wow. I wouldn't do that if I were God. I wouldn't trust a person like me. But he does. Because he said, no, Jim, you don't do any works, good or bad. I do everything. What you do is bad. But I do everything for bad people. Did you know we're the only religion in the world that will forgive bad people? Did you hear what I just said? I mean, I'm putting it under the opposite. Because bad people should be go to hell or something like that. Bad. But we're the only one that God says, no, I've always loved you and I'm not going to stop. It's just I want you to have faith in me and not faith in yourself. How many know you cannot kill your old self? You cannot say, from now on I'll abide in Jesus. I'll abide in Jesus. You can have songs all you want, but they won't help. They're just words. But only Jesus can do that for me, in me, through me. And I can't believe he'd waste time with me. I can't believe that. So it's amazing. It's amazing. This is a good God. I'm excited about it. Anyway. And he said, Moses, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up. Sounds like resurrection. From Seir, which is Edom. That is the Edomites, which is probably the Antichrist. And he shined forth from Mount Paran and came with 10,000 saints from his right hand, went a fiery law. Now that word right there is D-O-T-H, dot, D-O-T-H. So you'd have to do a big word study on it, and I will. But what it means is that if he judges any nation or any person, he'll always then save. For example, what if God hates the sin you did but doesn't hate you? Isn't that interesting? So he can separate you from your sin and the sin from you. That's why he died for your sins. He didn't die so that you would have a miserable life. He died, meaning you don't have to die. I died for you. I was buried for you. I rose for you. So now I'm going to give you a new heart, but not yet a new soul. You have to wait on that. You'll have to wait. Be patient. It's not going to come right away, right? So a lot of things that Christians do is trying to help God out by doing something decent or good or kind and so on. You don't get any reward for that. Why? Because it's free. It's a gift. It doesn't cost any money to do anything. So you can't be proud of yourself for doing it. But everybody is tempted that way. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm just going to say everybody thinks, hey, I was pretty good yesterday. I think for over an hour and a half, I was decent. But then all of a sudden, something will come up, and then you can't find the shower thing that you need. I can't find it because they don't make it anymore. They're just this big now. You know, a lot of numbers on it and stuff like this. And it's like it's different. But mine was just little. It's just like this. You know, I can't get that one for my thing. So now I have the wrench. And now that's good. And so now that thing is in tight. But I don't know what you do next. I have no idea. Now at least I have the wrench. It only cost $14. And I got 5 wrenches. That was cheap. And it has the little thing and you just twist it like this and turns out. So now we don't have any leaks. But the thing is, the stem is there, but that's it. So you have to have something that fits on it that makes it turned off and on, right? You know, so I don't know how it's doing because they're all big now. You can go to Home Depot, you can go to Lowe's, you can go anywhere you want to. They just, you know, yeah, you get one of these, it'll replace it. But it doesn't. You get home and there's nothing fits it. So now we have to tear out the whole shower thing and crush all those tiles and all that kind of stuff. It's amazing. How many know life is built so that it doesn't work without God? But it does work when you have God. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Wow, that's good to have a God like that. He actually likes you from the get-go. Wow, that's amazing God. Nobody else has that kind of God. He rose up, he shined forth from Mount Paran, came with 10,000 saints from his right hand. Everything on the right hand is for his church. Everything on the left hand is for everybody else. And went out a fiery law for them. What does that mean? You know what it means? That means during Jacob's trouble, which is the next thing on God's agenda, the next thing on God's agenda is to come down and punish Israel for all her sins. Did I ever tell you what the mark is? Somebody said something. I don't know if I defined it. It's the gospel. The good news. It's always good news. And since that's the case, I can't read anything in the Bible that isn't good news. So this is good news, even though it seems like a fiery law. That's just to kill you so that he can resurrect you. It's not just that he wants to punish you and send you to Hades or something. No, this one is to kill you so that he can resurrect you, because you're always resurrected out of the realm of the dead. So you have to die in order to resurrect. You just can't go straight in. I went born again. That born again is just the beginning. That's chair four. So now, yes, you've been forgiven and you have a new heart. But that new heart won't result in a new walk. There's kind of a little gap there. And so now that you're a Christian and you say to yourself, I'll never betray Jesus. I'll always be faithful. You can say it all day long, but you're sinning. And you can't do anything. But just be patient. Just don't, you know, just, you're doing fine. Just go one step at a time. Well, couldn't I have something today? How many know you're impatient and you're trying to get rid of impatience? But it just makes me more impatient that he won't come through when I say come through. And he says he'll act on my right early. But I don't know, his clock is different than mine. And so right early, I can't figure that out. But all I know is just be patient, because I have sin in you that I have to remove. Ooh, that could take a little bit. How many know we have sin galore in this church? I can actually see two or three people that I know are sinners. And they're always the men. Did you know that men are like kings? They're like kings. And the wife is like the church. Now, you can have Jezebel. That's a bad church. Lukewarm. But you also can have good ones like Mary and so on and so forth. So God knows the church is always the woman. So that's why I believe Adam and Eve will be restored, even though they started it out. I don't believe that bothers God. I don't believe God is worried about that. I think all he wants to do is, look, you can sin. I'll forgive that. But I want you to ask for mercy on my part, because it's just a gift. Do I have that right? Because the promisee, S-E-E on the end, is made a promise by the promiser, who told that to Abraham, and Jesus fulfilled it in the New Testament and then said to the promisee, ask whatever you will. Wow. That's kind of like an open check. You know, you can just fill in whatever you want. Nobody likes that idea. Oh, glory. And so, this fiery law. So the sooner they die, the sooner they'll be resurrected. You know what punishment for Israel is? By God. You know what it is? Cleansing. He's going to clean Israel from all her sins so that she can go to heaven. That's all. It's not really punishing. He's not punishing the sin. He's punishing nothing. Jesus already died for that. He already died before the foundation of the world. Now, he's also saying, I just want you to die so that I'm God and you voluntarily want to please me. I don't know if I will, God. Maybe I'll gripe and complain or something. He doesn't worry about that. Just trust him. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. So everybody here is going to heaven, right? Everybody here. Because there's no sin in anybody here that you wouldn't forgive, right? That's good. You're learning not to think at all. That's wonderful. Don't even think about it. You don't have to think about it. If God says something, that's it. That's the truth. And that will set you free. since it's all promise, there's no laws in the Bible. Did you know Israel, he already said, because you've sinned and there's no fruit on you, and I would have done it. If you had any fruit on you, it'd be in Christ. So you didn't, because I'm Christ and I remember. I didn't do anything in you. So he then cursed them and said to the fig tree, you didn't give me any fruit in the fruit season. So now your house is desolate. You are no longer part of the kingdom of God. I'm going to start a new kingdom. So he started a new kingdom, which is the church. And he said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against her, the bride of Christ, or it, the body of Christ. So whether it's an it or it doesn't matter, because it couldn't be masculine, feminine, or neuter. So the same words. Words hadn't changed, but it could be anything. But I know one thing. Jesus did it all. That's what I know. Jesus did it all. Wow. He wants me, actually loves me that much. How could anyone love me? I can't believe that. But I do. I totally believe that God loves everybody here equally. Because Jesus did it. Yea, he loved the people. See that? He separated the sin from the people. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in his hand. And they sat down at his feet. Everyone shall receive of these words. Moses commanded, that's mitzvah right there, my promise to you. Us a law, but it says law is just Torah. That also has two meanings. The inheritance. So the law of the inheritance is yours. Israel will actually inherit the whole land that Moses told about Abraham making this, that God made a promise to him. Now Jesus will be the blood that satisfies this, not the blood of goats and bulls and turtle doves and not that. That he winked at. He just winked like that. In other words, he accepted that. If they had even tried, he might have blessed them. But he didn't want that. He wanted them to be dead so that then he'd resurrect them from out of the realm of the dead. All Israel will be saved. Do you know? It says so in the Bible. All Israel will be saved. It doesn't mean what you think it means. It doesn't mean that bad people that don't believe in Jesus will make it. No, they're not going to make it. Pray for them. Love them. Bless them. Do good for them. Never curse them. The church isn't hot today. It's lukewarm. The church today is lukewarm, and that's the biggest test of all, because many Christians would then join the enemy. You'd be tempted. People today are tempted to accept homosexuality. People today are, you know, you're going to accept that Al-Qaeda won't win. And you accept all kinds of things. They're Christians. Christians are actually, there's the whole movement on that. And all the stuff that's going on, because people are weak. But he is strong. And he says, no, I'll shorten the days. I'll shorten the days so that won't happen. Wow. This God is so good as a parent. Even though the child rebelled, they can always repent, like your nieces or whoever we're talking about. Wow, it's easy for God. The only thing in the way is a lukewarm church. If the lukewarm church weren't there, everyone would be saved today. You just get rid of the lukewarm church, which is the last, this is the seventh church age. We're in that age right now. That is a great test. But we'll make it. Everyone here is going to get an A++. In other words, you go to heaven. So you don't have nothing to worry about. Right? Could I hear a little murmur or maybe a little hand or something like that? I believe that. Thank you. Because it's true that God loves you. And we just need to live it, not just talk it. Our walk should agree with our talk. And if you do that, and by the way, you don't do it, God will do it for you. Then he'll do it in you. Then he'll do it through you. Wow. He's making it so easy. He's making it so easy. You don't have to do a thing. He did everything for you before the foundation of the world, and now he's doing everything for on the cross, and now he's just doing it also and no sweat, no anxiety, because everybody here has sinned. Everybody. You can't change that. You have a new heart, but you don't yet have a new walk. You have your idea of a new walk, but that's not his idea. It's not a denominational thing. It's not how you were raised and trained and so on and so forth. Everybody's a sin. You still have sin. How do you get rid of it? You don't. That's the one thing you cannot do is save yourself. That's the Reformation is all about what I just said. The Reformation means I replaced the religion of works and replaced it with a religion of faith. My faith is in Jesus Christ, the object of my faith. And he does it all, and he always will do it all. Even for all eternity, he will do it all. You just have his word. And that word is so powerful. That word is so strong. You can conquer all your enemies by doing nothing and let Jesus go out before you, because it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Everyone here is born of the spirit. It's just take it. You don't deserve it. You don't say I'm deserving it. You just take it, right? You just say, hey, I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. And all you have to do is be a new creation. What do? Nothing. Because Jesus did it all. You think, well, I'd like a little bit I could be proud of. No, you don't want to be proud of anything. He wants to kill that pride. He wants to kill that self-confidence that you have in yourself. Well, I grew up out of a godly family and so on. It doesn't make any difference what you grew up. This is free for anybody, anywhere, anytime. The Muslims will be in heaven. Did you know that? It's a little bitty corner over there, chopping people's head off. No, they'd be there. No, the Muslims will be Christian. Did you know that without anybody's help, the Muslims, totally without anybody's witnessing to them or living the way and so on, I know there's a few examples, they're hearing and they're turning to Jesus Christ. I've told you that Iran is the second per capita in the whole world that is Christian, 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 Christian. And it's the same anywhere you look, because the news is not always accurate, right? So you can't trust the news. That's why I go around the world, because I want to see with my own eyes and experience the power of it. And so I believe everything God is doing is all for your benefit, all for your blessing. Wow. So is anybody here happy today? Yeah. No, it's so, I wish, you know, I prayed before I came and I said, God, you know, I'm reading this and I understand it, but I don't think I can articulate it. I did pray that. I said, God, could you just blind everybody so they just say what they were supposed to say? And so I believe God answers that prayer. I'm an idiot. But you know what? I love God because he first loved me. First loved me. He started this thing. I'm keeping going. It's wonderful. Moses commanded us even the inheritance. You're going to inherit. Israel will inherit the whole land. All the way to Euphrates, all the way up to, Damascus, all the way down into Africa. All of that will be restored to them. All of it. And he was king in Jeshurun. Jeshurun is, it's actually Yeshurun. Yeshurun is a name that God gives the people of Israel. It's just a kind of like a friendly name. That he loves them. And so this Yeshurun, it means someone that is highly favored of God. They will receive everything they thought they were going to get, whether they believe in heaven or hell or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. They're going to receive all of that. But because he's going to favor that land, this is the future for Israel. All of a sudden, the water will not be in the sea. That big sea that they have, where all the minerals are. That's their biggest form of wealth today, is not tourism, it's minerals. So all of that sea will now be fresh water and fish in it. Today it's 33%. 1/3 is salt. Well, in that you just lay back and it's in the salt. But today, that's not the truth. Today, he's going to say, everything that was, if you just plant something in the ground, it's going to grow, flourish. The crop is going to be unusual. The whole world will not have this kind of crop, but Israel will. That's why that land is so important. And that's why if you go there, you can see for yourself. And so everything will be different. You haven't even seen it. But when you go there, it's a life changer because you realize, gee, things are kind of primitive here. No, they're actually flourishing. So when Israel goes through the Jacob's trouble, it's just cleansing them. All they're doing is washing away all their sin. And then they'll be resurrected just like us. That's amazing. Everyone? No, only those that believe in Jesus. They have to be messianic. And so they're duking it out because in the Knesset today, which is their federal government, in the Knesset, the only group that wins are the group that goes to the Christian Jews and says, I'm going to make a deal with you. And if the Christians agree to it, it's going to be right. You cannot win an election if you're Netanyahu unless you go to the Christians and say, let's make a deal. When he came to America last year, when he came to America, I think maybe February, I don't know when he came. But he didn't go through Obama or whatever the time is. He went to the people and found out who are the people. And he asked to ask permission to do it. How do I go to the people themselves then go to the Democrat Republican Congress? Go to that. And they were there. And all of the, it was wonderful because he got permission then in case someone attacks Israel and America doesn't get there quickly enough, are we allowed to defend ourselves? And so everyone said, yeah. Not everyone, most. But enough to say, I can go back now. But he still had a lawsuit against him, and he lost that. He didn't gain that. But I'm sure Robert has something to say about that. I'm certain of it. Because he told him last time, don't give away land for peace. And then he did. How many know? Then Robert went to him later and said, okay, I said I would revisit you. Now I'm revisiting you. You did wrong. But you're going to be prime minister again. He said, no, I'm done with that. I'll just make money. I'm really good at that. He went to, you know, school here in New York. And now what's happening? He's just like, you know, he hasn't sorted it all out. But it's hard because once you win, you have to form a government. You have to form a government. He didn't have enough people to do it. So even though he won, he lost. Because you have to have the ability to govern. You have to have the capacity to do it. But he's still not a true believer. And so I'm sure Robert's going to do it again and go and prophesy to him. He will. How many know you have a God that really can do anything he wants to? And you can't do it. He can do everything you can't do. He's a miracle worker. Next verse is, and this is the blessing of Judah. So Judah's going to be blessed. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people, and let his hands be sufficient for him. Be thou an help to him from all his enemies. So that's the gospel going to Judah, the southern part. And of Levi, let them because they decide everything by Thummim and Urim, U-R-I-M. They do everything, that's how they make decisions as priests. They can't figure out what way to go. They just do that, and then kind of like a roll of dice. Whom thou didst prove at Massah, with whom thou didst strive, contend at the waters of Meribah. So that's where Moses struck the rock, and then he couldn't go into the land. Who said to his father and to his mother, I have not seen him. In other words, he didn't actually see Jesus with his naked eye. Neither did he acknowledge his brethren, the people he was supposed to be given the law to, nor knew he his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. So he didn't see it because there's hope. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. But I just told you, it's just a promise. And they shall put incense before thee and the whole burnt sacrifice upon the altar. In other words, Israel has a blessed future, happy. Bless the Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands, smite through the loins of them that rise up against him, Judah, and of them, Levites, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again until they're cleansed by Jesus. And of Benjamin, the son of his right hand, he said, this is the right hand guy, Ben-Yamin. Yamin means the right hand. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell safely by him, and the Lord shall cover him. It's covered. That means he has the beloved Jesus. All day long. And he shall dwell between his shoulders. And of Joseph, he said, blessed. And he goes all the way through the 12 tribes here. And Joseph, he said, blessed of the Lord is be his hand for the precious things of heaven, for the dew. Now, if you read this in Isaiah 45, how many know that Trump is the 45th president of the United States? If you read verse 8, you'd see that this is referring to that. So, in other words, Trump has a not only good chance, but it says in there, the heavens will drop down and the dew. In other words, everything God is saying right now is saying, don't worry about it. Don't help out. Don't do anything. Don't promise to do this or do that. Just let God do it. He likes to handle enemies himself. He doesn't want you to do it because you still have sin in your life until he comes back a second time. So if he wants to do that and affect our political situation, our secular situation, the whole earth is his and all the fullness thereof. So he could actually make it so you don't worry about coronavirus or homosexuality or Al-Qaeda or anything. Don't worry about anything. God is able to change everything in an Augenblick. That means in a twinkling of an eye. He can just change anything. So today it looks like we're down. Our stock is down. Their stock is up. George Soros and all these people. They're doing everything. So if you go to jail today for burning a city or pulling down a statue or whatever, Soros has put $5 billion to take Texas. So he will send you a Harvard lawyer, whatever you need, and get you out that same day. Boom. Or the next morning. You'll be free. You'll be on the streets again. So they're not worried about anything. There's no law with them. But we don't rely on the law. We rely on the promise. I totally have confidence that the dew will come down. And when God says something, it always accomplishes the thing that God intended. So it could happen. I'm not saying it is. I'm not prophesying. I'm just simply saying to you, it could be that those verses would come to pass because he loves everybody. And it'd be better for us to win than the other guys to win. Right? Because we will keep things alive because we believe in law and all that kind of stuff and freedom and liberty and all the stuff that we've saved up all these years. Now, you could lose it if the bad guys get in. But so what? Why worry about it? You're a Christian. Turn it over to Jesus. If my people who humble themselves and pray and seek my face, seek me. Don't be joining together and making groups that, you know, I'm against this, I don't like that, and so on and so on. All of this stuff on even, whatever they call it, that news thing. What that channel that all the... Yeah, Fox. Yeah. All of that, they're so angry. They're so trying, we got to beat them. If we don't beat them, you don't... It's as though it's up to man. It's not up to man. Man does not do anything. God does everything. So I'm not saying you can't listen. I'm just simply saying don't take that seriously. You have joy unspeakable and full of glory. So that's what's going to happen. This dew is going to fall down and all of a sudden the world is different. I don't mean heaven. I'm not talking about, this is just the beginning of sorrows. I'm not talking about end. This is powerful. Let's see. And of Benjamin, the beloved of the Lord, and he is, shall dwell in safety by him. and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between the shoulders. And of Joseph he said, blessed be the Lord in his land for the precious things of heaven and for the dew and for the deep that crouches beneath. Everything could change all of a sudden. Would you be surprised? Everything could just change. This is wonderful. I don't care. I don't care if it does or doesn't. I'm going to be happy anyway. And for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun and the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of lasting hills, everlasting, and for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, for the goodwill of him that dwells in the bush. Remember, Abraham heard in the bush this thing, and he said, you know, you're gonna now go there and set the people free. And the blessings come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Almost done. And his glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of the unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. In other words, this is going to last. And they are 10,000s of Ephraim and the thousands of Manasseh. That would be 11. And of Zebulun, and said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. You know where that is? That's over on the western side in the place today where all the war is taking place. Remember the big explosion a couple weeks ago? Big explosion there? That's right in that Lebanon. It's right there. And so it looks like it's up for grabs. Something, you don't know it. Actually, it's changing things. It's actually changing things. So God is rearranging everything for what? Us and Israel. It's a blessing. Everything is actually, he never forgot his promise to Abraham. Cannot. And they shall call the people unto the mountain, there it is, Mount Hermon, and they there shall offer sacrifices of righteousness. This is something that these Levites and other people, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas, it's right there, and of the treasures hid in the sand. In other words, there could be oil, you know, you never know what's there. And of Gad, he said, blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. Egad. He dwelleth as a lion and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provides the first part for himself, because there is in proportion of the lawgiver was he seated. I know you can't understand this, but it's okay. And he came with the heads of the people. He executed justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. In other words, they're going to die, and then they're going to resurrect. And of Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. And of Naphtali, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full of the blessing of the Lord. See, everything here is positive toward Israel. Thou the west and the south. And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to the brethren. Let him dip his foot in the oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and thy days they shall be strength. There is none like, I'll end with this one. There is none like unto the God of Yeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in the help, and in his excellency in the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down with dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord. The shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency and thine enemies, shall be found liars. Unto thee thou shalt tread upon the high places. All of this is for Israel. All this is for Israel. If Israel does that, you can keep your eye on them, and you'll see the same's going to happen here. Same. We are the friend. We were the first ones that acknowledged them. That was under Truman. And we are the first ones to then move their capital, that's under Trump, to Jerusalem. I mean, this nation is going to be blessed. not because we're smart and we did it because it works. We're because he just said so. He just said so. So Israel's going to make it, and you're going to make it, and all the Gentiles. And you might see a lot of voters change sides. You might. I know it. I just know that in my spirit. It's going to be a surprise for everybody. Nobody's expecting it because they don't believe God is real, real, real. Actual. That he'll actually do stuff. It's not even the end. It's just the beginning. But he wants you to die today to yourself. Right? Yes. And if you do, then you can love your neighbor because you don't have to love yourself. Why? Because God already loved you while you were yet sinner. And he said, don't worry about it. I've taken care of it. Now you can love your neighbor as yourself, and people have loved you. They just love your neighbor like that. And it works. All right. Hope you're blessed. Who wants to testify? You can just make up something. Make up something happy. Is everything going our way?
Yes.
Yeah. You cannot have any bad news. You cannot say there's bad news. The whole world. And who knows what happens if we're not lukewarm, but we're hot. Zestos in the Greek. If you're hot, then you can make the cold hot, and you can make the lukewarm hot. Because we're just hot. That is, we're touched by God, and we don't deserve it. We know we don't deserve it, but God will give it to you anyway. It's always been his blessing to be... To have you marry Jesus, have a crown on your head that will never end, and you're going to inherit God, and God's going to inherit you. God actually wants to inherit you. Could I hear a testimony? Just say, hey, I want that. Yes. Wow. Thank you, Jeeva. Praise God. Thank you. Who else? Clay.
I